Now our Bible study today takes us into chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. If someone should have tuned into this broadcast today and you're not accustomed to following through these Bible studies, I just mentioned that we're going through a systematic study of the last book of the Bible. We have reached chapter 5. It's a chapter of 14 verses. Now, the two main issues in this chapter are these. We have 8 times mention is made of the book. Take note of that. The book is mentioned 8 times. Then 4 times mention is made of the Lamb. So that the whole chapter revolves around things pertaining to the book and the Lamb. There are 14 verses in the chapter. I shall read the chapter first before offering our comments. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." And the 4 beasts said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. And the Lord will bless to us, I am sure, the reading of that chapter. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge thee. We approach thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching thee for thy blessing today upon all thy people everywhere, and especially upon those who are listening now to the exposition of the truth of thy word. be with each of them. Bless them as thou seest fit. For the Lord Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Now, the importance of this chapter cannot be overemphasized. It contains the key to the correct understanding of the remainder of the book. And if we should make a mistake here, we will be wrong the rest of the way. How important then it is for each person seeking to read and understand the book of Revelation to take time to get a grasp of the truth that is revealed to us here in chapter 5. I remind you again that in this chapter the book is mentioned 8 times, which no doubt impresses upon our mind the importance of understanding what is meant by the book and what is involved in it. And then the Lamb is mentioned 4 times. Now, there are 7 little steps I want to take in giving to you what I believe to be a simple exposition of this chapter. First of all, then, I want you to look at the 7 sealed book, this important document. Then I want you to take time to look at the strong angel as set before us in verses 2 and 3. And then there is the sobbing prophet, verses 4 and 5. He is John, the last of the apostles. Then verses 6 and 7, we have the slain lamb, the emblem of redemption. Verses 8 through 10, we have the singing saints, the expression of praise. That is followed in verses 11 through 13 with the speaking multitude, where we have the sevenfold doxology. Then verse 14, we have the silent worshippers. Let us try now and examine these 7 thoughts. Number 1, there is the important document, the 7 sealed book. First of all, look at the possessor of the book. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Now remember, when we examined chapter 4 in a previous study, we emphasized that the throne was the important thing in chapter 4. And he that sat on the throne. Also, we pointed out that the praise that was offered to the Lord in chapter 4 was on the ground of his power in creation. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So he is honored in chapter 4 as the creator. But now when you come to chapter 5, he's going to be honored as the redeemer. But he's now on the throne. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. Now, it is this book that I have indicated is mentioned 8 times. And the possessor of this book is he who sat on the throne. I want you to notice also the sufficiency of the book. According to verse 1, it was written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Now, you cannot think of this book in terms of the kind of books that we handle today. I want you to think of it in terms of a scroll. And this scroll has been written on both sides. Here is the long parchment. And then it is written, it's completely filled up on both sides. Then it is rolled up and sealed with 7 seals. Just as you and I would take a book today and we would turn it over page after page in order to read what is written in the book. When you lift a scroll, and if the scroll has been sealed, you must break those seals one at a time in order to unfold or unroll the scroll and read what is written on it. Now, the sufficiency of the book is suggested by this idea. It is completely written on both sides, and it is sealed with seven seals. Think now then, join these two ideas together, the sufficiency of the book and the authority of the book. In Roman law, I understand, in these particular days when this book was written, that is the book of the Revelation, in Roman law, a will had to be sealed seven times in order to authenticate it. It is also a sign of the peculiar solemnity of the document here referred to. If this document, this scroll, has been completely filled up on both sides, then who dare add anything to it? If a document has been written and signed and sealed, no one would dare to alter or take from or add to what was written in that document. I mention this because there is a warning given with regards to the Word of God. The great number of people have been guilty of violating this great principle. Some have sought to take from the Scriptures. Others have tried to add to the Scriptures by claiming that they have had further revelation. Then there are some who seek to alter what is in the Scriptures to try and make them mean something else. This is dangerous procedure. The child of God, the man or woman who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, will come to the Bible as a whole, and to the book of the Revelation perhaps in particular, and be careful about this. What God has written in the book is sealed in the sense it is God's stamp of authority upon it. So therefore we must not add to it, take from it, or alter anything that is in it. Here then is the seven seal book, this important document. Then we are introduced to a strong angel, and I want you to notice the extent of the proclamation. He makes a great proclamation. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor in earth." Here is a proclamation made to all creation, heaven above and earth beneath. And in this proclamation, there's a cry goes out. Is there anyone worthy to open the book? There wasn't one. Neither in heaven nor in earth nor under the earth could you find one of all God's creation with the competence to open this book, not even to look on it. The challenge of the proclamation then is there anyone competent? Now here is the result of that proclamation. There was no qualified administrator. Here is a document that has to do with the affairs on earth. As I said to you in a previous study, chapters 4 and 5, we are introduced to the great divine administrators, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And throughout this book of Revelation, it's a book of judgment. Yet there is only one who is competent to judge, because the Father has committed judgment to the Son. So here the strong angel is making the proclamation, and no one is found worthy. Because of that, when you come to verses 4 and 5, you find the picture of the sobbing prophet, John, the last of the apostles. The concern this man expressed is seen in this. He says, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy. Now remember, there was a great number of great men on earth, and a lot of great men had already gone home to heaven. Why, Moses was in heaven, Elijah was there, other prophets were there, some of the apostles were there, for John was the last of the apostles left here on earth, but not one of them was found worthy to open this book. Neither amongst the political leaders of earth, or the religious leaders, or those who had gone to heaven, no one was found worthy to open this book, and John wept. And then again, a cure is explained, because one of the elders said unto me, that is unto John, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. John says, I beheld. After all, he says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But when John turned and looked, he saw a lamb. The lion stands for majesty, the lamb for meekness. So one has been found who is worthy to open the book. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now remember, the tribe of Judah was the royal tribe in Israel. And David was of the royal house. And while the tree has been cut down, like an olive tree, a branch has come out of the root. Oh, here is one. He's the root of David. He has grown out of the roots. He's the branch, the one who is qualified to rule and reign. But when John looked, he saw one in the midst of the throne, and it was a lamb as it had been slain. But the lamb was standing, in plain words, prepared for action, standing in the midst, perfect in power and in intelligence, because the lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, the horn telling us of his power, and the eye speaking of his intelligence. And since John saw the Lamb with seven horns, he was perfection in power and ability and authority, and his seven eyes telling us of the perfection of his intelligence. Now he was the one who advanced, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He's now in possession of the book. It's an amazing thing that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he took a book, and the book that was given to him that day was the prophecy of Isaiah. He unrolled it to what we call chapter 61, and he read a few words from it, then he closed the book. When he read the words to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he was able to say, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your hearing. But if he had read on, he would have read, and the day of vengeance of our God, but he didn't read that. He closed the book at the acceptable year of the Lord. But now, as we come here to Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 6, the same one who closed the book, as recorded in Luke chapter 4, now is able to take the book again. He's going to open the book, and he's going to introduce the day of vengeance of our God. But now here in chapter 5, he takes the book. Here is positive authority. Then notice verses 8 through 10, we have the singing saints. I want you to notice the unity of the singers. They all joined in the same song. You know, it's worthy to take note of this, that the first time that singing is mentioned in the Bible, it's a way back in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, and God brought them out from under Pharaoh's hand and out of Pharaoh's land, and they stood on the redemption side of the Red Sea. They joined in song, and they sang their song unto the Lord, who had triumphed gloriously, and who had delivered them from Egypt's bondage. That was called the Song of Moses. But here now we have a singing multitude here. Verses 8 through 10. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, and they sung a new song. Now notice, as it were, the unity of the singers. They're all singing. Notice the purity of the song. The song was Christ-centered, for they were singing the song concerning him. They're saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now notice, they're singing the song about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful when people can sing hymns about the Savior. Far too many of the so-called hymns today don't seem to exalt the Savior at all. All our religious singing ought to more or less exalt the Savior. There was the purity of the song. There was the harmony of the subject. The redeemed people and the royal priesthood. Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, and Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. There's a royal priesthood here, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, I want you to notice again that following that, we have here a speaking multitude, and this speaking multitude are expressing a sevenfold doxology. They are ascribing unto him power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. But then I want you to think of this. Think of some of the men who have had power and they failed. The great Babylonian leader, Nebuchadnezzar, he had great power, but he failed. And think of those who have had riches. Oh, Abraham was a very rich man, it says so. And there were others who had riches, and they failed. I think of Solomon with all his wisdom, yet he failed. I think of Samson with all his might of strength, he failed. Think of David who was honored, he failed. Think of those who have had glory, and they failed. Ah, but here the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail. And unto him is ascribed the power, the riches, the wisdom, the might, the honor, the glory, and the blessing. Here is the sevenfold doxology. And these things are ascribed by the speaking multitude. The first group were singing. They were singing about the Savior, who was the Lamb, occupying the throne and holding this valuable document, this important document in his hand. He was about to open the seals and reveal what was written in this document, and tell of coming judgments and coming glory. And so therefore the singing saints are expressing their song of praise to him. The speaking multitude are expressing themselves towards him, and ascribing all these things to the Lamb who held the document. But then when you come to the closing verses, you discover here the silent worshippers. The four living creatures said, Amen. They agree. Now notice the occupation of their minds. For these 24 elders along with them fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. They are occupied with the glorified Lamb. Remember, the Lamb in the Old Testament was typified. The Lamb in the Old Testament was prophesied. The Lamb in the New Testament in the Gospels was identified. You go to the cross, he was crucified. But here in the book of the Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is glorified. They fell down before him. There was the humiliation of their souls. And then they worshipped him. There was the adoration of their spirits. Notice then that as they worshipped the Lamb, there were those who could sing his praises. There were those who could speak of him and ascribe all these things to him alone, but there were those who felt that all they could do was fall down in silence before him, what you call silent worship. Now, you have been listening to the Bible Fellowship broadcast. We thank you for being tuned in today. Day by day, if the Lord will, we shall continue in our exposition of the book of the Revelation. We'll begin to see that book having its seals broken and the various things that happen on earth and in heaven as these seals are broken.